Thanks for tuning in to Happy Horror Time. Before we get started, check out this promo for Gayest Episode Ever. It's a podcast hosted by our friends, Glenn Lakin and Drew Mackey, and we really think you'll enjoy it.
Why did Homer Simpson's homophobia make for great gay TV?
I like my beer cold, my TV loud, and my homosexuals flaming.
Could Chandler's fear of seeming gay be a worse running gag?
He is cute. He's funny.
He's a he?
Did I Love Lucy really make the first gay joke in sitcom history?
Helen, Ann, Mary, Cynthia, Alice, Theodore.
Theodore?
And why is Diane Chambers not only an LGBT ally, but also one of the greatest TV characters ever? Like, ever.
It's not going to turn into the kind of bar that I have to throw people out of.
That was the noblest proposition you've ever dangled.
These questions and more we answer on Gayest Episode Ever, a podcast about the LGBT-focused, very special episodes of classic sitcoms.
I'm Glenn Lakin.
And I'm Drew Mackey. And every week we look at how a different series tackled LGBT issues in the half-hour format. What's good? What's bad? And what reads a whole lot differently all these years later?
We talk about Frasier, Designing Women, and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
We talk about The Golden Girls, and Living Single, and even dinosaurs.
Yes, dinosaurs. Totally did a gay episode on the TGIF lineup, no less.
So if we haven't already covered your favorite show, chances are we will very soon be talking about everything that's gay about it.
Join us every Wednesday for a new episode about old gay TV. That's Gayest Episode Ever.
Where the gayest episode is usually the one you're already listening to.
Don't take this wrong, but it never even occurred to me that you might be gay.
Well, it never even occurred to me that you might be straight.
Hi, and welcome to Happy Horror Time. I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmer.
Wait!
Switcheroo!
That is not right. I was actually just telling Tim that I wanted to do the Welcome to Happy Horror Time because I had never done it, but he didn't know I was going to say his name.
You know what? You blindsided me.
Wow. I mean, have you ever been that surprised in your life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh. What was that? Actually,
speaking
did you
of
hear
happy,
something?
Yeah, I did. Speaking of Happy Horror Time, I just heard something outside the door. Tim,
I know.
Tim, go check it out.
You know, I will.
Yeah, wait, hold on a second. Look. Dunk, 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 dunk. Tim?
Yeah.
Tim.
Oh I'm dead.
Oh, no, Jokes. We actually did hear a sound, and it's nighttime, and it's a little spooky.
And there's a black cat sleeping over
there.
Oh,
that's my kitty,
I'm
little
I'm glad
guy.
The cat's over there, because I'm deathly allergic.
Yeah, Tim is deathly allergic, but he is nice enough to come over here to do this.
I am.
We make sure that the kitty is away from him. And
but you know, I'm okay because your house is cleaner than other cat owners.
Exactly. Well, I like
but
to
I'm not gonna name names.
I like to keep
don't ask me to name names.
Hey, who has a shitty house,
you know,
that's
I
filled
said,
with cat
don't,
hair?
I'm like, I'll tell you after the podcast.
Okay. You don't want to put it out there? Hey, listeners, because I lived here before Jacob moved in with little guy. You know, was
that's the name of the cat.
Well, yeah, little guy is the cat. Jacob and the little guy moved in. No, you know, I hadn't had a pet in a long time, and so I had to get used to pets' shed and there's hair around. But you just have to, you know, vacuum a little more often and keep up the cleaning, right, Tim?
That's right. I mean, I'm allergic to cats, but I love dogs.
See, I love dogs too, but. And I used to be against cats, but there are certain cats that are really, really sweet, and this cat is a sweetheart. No, come on.
They're
he
just
is.
Moody prancers.
Do you think little guy is a moody prancer?
He has his moments.
No, he is sweet. He cuddles with you.
Not
he
me.
Meows. He sleeps with
One
us.
One time is... I thought he was sweet. He like barely like laid on my leg.
Well, he won't cuddle with you because you won't let him get near you
because
you're allergic.
Because I'll sneeze and itch and
exactly.
It's just
I have
a mess.
Seen Tim when he has an allergic reaction, and it is scary.
Scary sexy, you mean?
Scary sexy. You know, that like sneezy, snotty look.
Nothing turns people on.
It's really hot, especially right now. You'll definitely attract people
yes,
if you go around
you
sneezing
know, with
and
that
coughing.
Pandemic and all.
Oh, God. I feel like, was there one episode where we don't mention the pandemic?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's life.
It was 2017, 2018.
And oh, yeah, I forgot. Sorry, I meant one episode over the last year.
No.
Year, Tim.
Yeah. Happy
year.
Anniversary.
Wow. Well, it is February, and actually this episode is going to be coming out on Valentine's
is it?
Day.
Happy uh-huh. Valentine's Day.
Because Valentine's Day is Sunday. Our episodes come out on Sunday. And yeah, so wanted to wish send our love to all of our listeners.
I'm going to send it out to my Valentine. You know who you are.
There's a
happy Valentine's
35
Day.
35 guys cutie. Right now are like, oh.
That's right.
35 men. Tim is juggling. 35.
You know, it's a, you know what? They're all pen pals at this point.
I thought you were going to say it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do
no,
it.
No, because you know what? I'm playing this pandemic by the rules.
That is good. Yes, so we hope that you are enjoying Valentine's Day. You know what? There's no better way to spend Valentine's Day than by watching horror, right?
Yeah, these are my recommendations. We didn't even plan this. I didn't even know this was Valentine, starring Denise Richards. My Bloody Valentine, 2009 in 3D.
Oh, not the original 1981?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That one's good, too.
And are there any other Valentine Day themes?
I'm sure there is.
Well, I feel like there's one with the word Cupid in it. Is it? It's called OK Cupid.
Yeah, go on OK Cupid, meet a date.
No, I would say I would prefer I Loved Valentine.
I do, too.
With Denise?
Denise? I love
because
Denise.
Because I have a list. With Denise Richards, I was getting ahead of myself, Marley Shelton, Catherine Heigl.
David Boreanaz.
Yeah, I mean, I remember at that time, that was like the hottest
cast.
Oh,
happy 20th anniversary. That movie's 20 years old this year.
Oh,
feel
wow.
Feel old. Feel
and,
old.
But they all still look great.
They do. All they do. Of them, actually.
Does David Boreanaz look great, though, too?
Yeah, yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like I haven't seen
here's
him.
I've got a fun story about him.
Tell us.
One day when my boss lived in Hancock Park, he was trick-or-treating with his son, and he came up as a baseball player.
David Boreanaz was trick-or-treating
yes,
with his son.
Yes, yes.
I was like, wait, I don't think your boss has a son, right?
No, she's got daughters. But so he walked up, and I was handing out candy. I think I was Dracula. I can't remember. But I was...
Were you a sexy Dracula?
No, nothing. Oh. I can never deliver sexy on Halloween ever. Like last
That's not true. I saw you dressed as Reagan from The Exorcist. She was quite sexy.
She's a looker. You're right. you know.
She's a looker.
Anyways, he was a hottie, and I think I did like a double take and a stare up. But no.
And you were like, Angel.
I never watched Angel.
Oh, I Buffy's better than Angel, but Angel, I mean, he.
But not 1992 Buffy with that. Christy Swanson.
Oh, wow. She's a wow. Well, first off, we are jumping from topic to topic faster than I can even keep up. Wait, we went from Happy Valentine's Day to Valentine to David Boreanaz to Angel to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Wow. Anyway, all I wanted to say was Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. That's all. No, but it is. It does feel weird that it's already Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
Tim.
I mean, moments feel like we haven't. You know what? We thought this was going to be 3 months.
Valentine's Day was okay last year, though. It was before. Yeah. It was right when things.
What did
I remember,
we do?
Jacob and I went to Big Bear because I'll never forget. I remember reading the news and I remember saying
oh,
something
that's right.
similar
and
to
cried
him, like,
in a corner.
No, shut up. I remember saying like, "Oh, that's scary. What's going on in China?" Because this is when it was in Wuhan, China, and I think they were like, "They maybe there's a couple cases in Washington." I remember thinking like, "Oh, as long as they caught the people in Washington, like we're good."
Was this
little
were we
I
at
know.
The stage? I love that we're talking about COVID. I mean, what a great so
every
topic.
Fucking time.
No,
every
then,
fucking time.
Were we at the stage then when they were like, "Don't touch your face. Don't do this."
No. That was March when it broke
oh,
out here.
Okay, okay.
We were at the stage when we were blindly ignorant to the fact that it was already spreading here. We thought maybe there was like 2 cases in Washington. We were good. I was blindly ignorant. I really thought we were totally fine. But anyway, I want to move off COVID.
Happy Valentine's Day.
But I will say for anybody who's spending Valentine's Day by themselves. Like, it's not that big a deal this year because this year most people are.
This year you got an excuse.
Yeah, this year you can be like, oh, I'm totally just, you know, being CDC compliant.
What CD? Like CDs like you put in your
No, CDC like the Centers for Disease Control.
Well, bring it down.
I know. And now I feel like I have to sneeze because we're talking about allergies and COVID for so long.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, we have two, Tim, count them, two
movies. One, two, done. Bless Ooh. You.
Sorry. Okay. I was holding that in as long as I could. I'd say timely movies because they both came out at the very, very end of January.
I think both of them were theatrical releases, but not really.
I don't know if the second one was, but the first one definitely was.
Yes.
And so the first movie that we're going to talk about today, it came out in theaters, like Tim said, and on HBO Max. It's called The Little Things.
Pretty Little Lies.
It's called Pretty Little Lies. No, it's called The Little Things. And you've no doubtedly seen some sort of preview starring
Denzel Washington.
And
the guy that Anthony Malek.
Rami Malek.
Rami Malek.
Not his brother, Anthony.
Oh, okay.
Just kidding. I have no idea.
Wait.
Rami Malek,
I got
Denzel
the last
Washington,
one.
And?
Jared Leto.
Leto, you mean known as Jordan?
Urban legend.
Oh, I was going to say Jordan Catalano for My So-Called Life.
You're really aging yourself.
That show, ugh. I hated that show
you,
ended.
You hated it?
No, okay. I hated that it ended. I absolutely loved that show. I remember it made me cry as like a little gay teenager. Well, I loved any like unrequited love story. And I'll never forget the finale when the nerdy guy, Brian, like helps Jordan Catalano write like love poems to Angela. And she finally figures out that it was Brian behind it the whole time. And she like gives him this look and he had always loved her, but she was always going for Jordan Catalano. And that's how the show ended. And it never came back. And I just remember, because, you know, every nerd who had like a crush on someone wanted, I don't know. It was a very
I couldn't deal with those things yet.
It was a very well done show.
Yeah, no, I agree.
No, I didn't know anything about being gay. I think I was only like 12 or 13. I just was like,
oh, I was a little older.
I always rooted for the underdog and
like
underdog.
Tonya Harding.
no comment on that one.
Yes, Jared Leto,
Denzel Washington, and Rami Malek, who famously played.
Did he win an Oscar? We still don't know.
You mean in the Queen movie? Why am I thinking of Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yes.
We are all over the place today. Whoa, a little too much soda. I don't know. So someone tell us if Rami Malek.
Yeah, just happyhorrortime@gmail.com.
Yeah, can you email happyhorrortime@gmail.com?
We don't have access to our phones right now.
And I want to see, did Rami Malek win an Oscar for? I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
Or the movie won, right? It won something.
Was definitely nominated, yeah.
Right.
Anyway, so here's the thing. This movie was advertised like it's a Silence of the Lambs-esque serial killer thriller murder mystery. That's what I thought from the trailer.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were like, okay, this is right up our alley, has great stars in it.
Huge stars.
Yeah, and so, again, the previews, you see Jared Leto as this creepy killer. Someone's going after women. I was like, this looks like Silence of the Lambs, one of my favorite movies. This is great, right?
But you know what's crazy is, like, you watch the trailer, you automatically think Jared Leto's the killer.
Exactly, because he looks like a creepy weirdo, but... And you know, Denzel Washington, I'll say this, Denzel Washington is playing the part that Denzel Washington plays in almost every movie.
But you know, he plays it extra sleepy, extra tired.
He is. He plays it detective. So basically, I will say this, the movie starts with a scene that made Tim and I think, it felt like the opening scene to Urban Legend combined with the scene of in Silence of the Lambs right before the girl gets kidnapped.
Gorgeous, pretty girl. And I will say for
singing as she's driving home.
Right. It wasn't Love Shack, it was Rome Where You Want To.
She's singing Rome by the B-52s in her car as she's driving home. Like I said, exact scenario of Urban Legend. She's on a road by herself, and there's like a driver behind her who's like tailing her and then starts driving around her, pulls over to wait for her, remember?
Yes, and you know, I thought, I was like, ooh, this is going to go somewhere scary.
Right away, yeah.
And like, but it just, that for a big opening to with this huge stars, big Warner Brothers movie, did not.
Oh, we're jumping right into assessments. Well, no, I was going to just say about the opening.
Oh,
no,
okay,
sure.
Well,
no,
I'm just saying, like, I thought it was going to be like this huge, memorable opening, like Scream. And it was just kind of lukewarm.
Oh, yeah. It was. Well, the girl, to say, so she does, like, get scared, pulls over, and starts, like, running and hiding. And you see someone is coming after her. And you're like, oh, shit.
Still
like,
effective.
She's doomed.
I think anyone being chased in the middle of nowhere and there's nowhere to go. Always scary. Always scary.
But the kind of flip on what you're expecting is she actually doesn't get killed. She stops a trucker and gets away. So I was actually like, oh, cool. It's not the typical opening scene because the person actually didn't get killed.
Right.
But then what I think you're going – so then it goes to the main story. Denzel Washington is this cop in L.A. and he gets
consumed.
Consumed by something in his past. You don't know at this point.
For a good hour.
Yeah. I know, right? He gets called up to, I think he gets called up to like, is it San Francisco or something?
You know, I was watching.
He was working in LA and he gets called up to, he is working in Kern County and he gets called to LA.
Right.
Because there's like a recent murder. Oh.
And it takes place in 1990, so everything's not high tech. Like, no one has a cell phone, no one has a beeper, no one has a computer. I think there's computers, but they...
No one has a computer, nobody breathes.
No one breathes. No, but I mean, like, they probably could have solved the murder sooner.
Yeah, I guess there wasn't all. No, and they definitely didn't have cell phones, so the girl couldn't call anyone when she was left alone. But like, so Denzel Washington gets called to the, essentially, I guess it's Rami Malek's police station. He's leading a police station, and you get the feeling that Denzel Washington used to work here and left at some point because everyone knows him and there's like weird vibes going on. And you find out that I guess Denzel Washington used to be like the lead detective at this, the Los Angeles Sheriff Department. And then after a murder case years ago, he like got so obsessed and consumed by it that he like had a heart attack, had like a nervous breakdown, got divorced, and just his whole life
so
went to shit.
So then he went to some like small town.
Yeah, I think that's where, I guess, where is Kern County? Why do I keep thinking
it fictional?
No, Kern County's a real county, but I keep thinking it's,
and this is
not
based on a true story.
Oh, it's near Bakersfield. So yes,
oh,
small
that's
town.
Out the middle of nowhere.
That is definitely, yeah. So at the beginning, there's this weird tension between Rami Malek
there's
and
like unnecessary
Denzel.
Competitiveness.
There, it's like, I guess Rami got his job and Denzel. And first off, this is going to be so superficial, but I have to talk about it. Like, Rami Malek.
I know exactly where you're going with this, so you're fine.
Okay, he good actor in what I've seen.
Very subtle.
He, though, is so tiny. Like, is to see him as like a lead detective slash sheriff or whatever his job was.
You weren't intimidated?
He looked like he's about 4'11" walking around trying to be Mr. Intimidating, and it just felt like he was miscast. I don't know.
I like, agree. I mean, but you know what? I thought he was like, I liked him, but I mean, like, this is not a body shaming thing when I say this, but his body was smaller than mine.
Well, it's not shaming. Some people are smaller than others. Like, I'm just saying that in the role, Denzel Washington, I feel like, is a presence. Like, he comes on.
He's a big man.
He is a tough guy. His whole aura, his demeanor is like, I'm a tough guy. He can play sheriff, cop, killer, gang member, anything. And it's just, he just has this really striking presence, and he owns the screen. Rami Malek is like this little guy, and he just didn't. To me, he just didn't say sheriff. Now, not saying that all sheriffs and detectives have to be big guys.
And those suits were like so skin tight.
He was wearing slim fit suits, which did not help.
He looked like a seventh grader playing dress up.
He did. That is great. He did look like a seventh grader playing dress up. That's so funny. Yeah, he looks like a little kid. And especially when he's like trying to be all hard ass.
Especially
like,
to Denzel Washington. I was like, if Denzel Washington punched you in the face, you'd be dead.
I think if Denzel Washington tapped him in the face, he'd be dead. Like, seriously. But again, they're not fighting. There's just like a weird like competitiveness between them,
but
right?
But then you later learn, well, we won't go there, but I mean.
Well, oh no, but well, so they've, there's ends up being some more murders, and Denzel's looking into them, and they see that the MO of whoever this murderer is reminds Denzel of the MO of the murder that apparently he's been haunted by. And again, at this point, you don't know what happened. All you know is that a few women were murdered years ago, and he just has not been able to get past it. And apparently, at that time, I just thought, oh, it's because he didn't solve it.
All right, right. And you know there's going to be a big reveal that tells you why Denzel's being so sleepy, why so tired.
Why are you so sleepy, Denzel?
Like, honestly, that's the best way to describe it, because he's like, you could tell he's angry at the world.
He's like aloof. Yeah, I
right.
think it'd
but
be
he,
like that.
But he doesn't take vacations, and his vacation is spent trying to find the
solve
murderer.
Other cases. Yeah. So there's other murders going on, like a girl that goes jogging, ends up going missing. And at this time, you don't see who the murderer is. And then they're trying to hunt down people. They end up looking for suspects that work at this like repair shop, and they find, this is only halfway through the movie,
like
you're introduced
hour.
To Jared Leto. Like, literally, the first half of the movie, he's nowhere to be seen. He's introduced, and he...
Except
I
in
mean,
your dreams. Yeah.
Well, not in this role. They, whoever dressed him up or created this part for him, he looks creepy as fuck.
I agree. He looks disgusting.
Long, like, creepy, greasy hair. They've obviously given him... contacts so that his beautiful blue eyes are now like black, the blackest eyes,
right.
The devil's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He is very skinny. Like, he must have lost a lot of weight.
I didn't think
for
he
this.
Was that skinny, because he definitely had like a little baby bump.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if you look, he has like a dad bod.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he looked, maybe it was just his
gut.
Face looked a little like.
And he also walked like this.
Well, he
I know
walked
you can't
a little
see,
off.
But,
he had something was with his leg, but he. He and Jared Leto is a great actor. I mean, wasn't he the Joker in something recently?
Yeah, I didn't even see that movie.
But he's very, eccentric would be the word.
Yes, that's a good word.
You know, it's almost like a Johnny Depp type of person. He loves playing characters that aren't just like your normal.
But I like him best in Urban Legend because he's preppy and cute.
Oh, yes. Well, this is definitely not Urban Legend. He is creepy as fuck. So they start thinking that he has something to do with it. He's creepy. They question him. And you get the feeling that, like, Jared Leto
enjoys it.
Yes, he wants to egg them on and make them think he's the murderer, and he's playing around with them, and he's making Denzel Washington and Rami Malek crazy because he knows they don't have evidence on him, but he's, like, joking with them. It's like he's playing with them,
right? He definitely enjoys them in coming how did I put this? Like, he enjoys the chase.
Yes,
he
knows
that he's not confirming anything for them. They have nothing to, like, charge him for.
And they keep following him, and he knows. Like, there's this one great scene where the two cops are breaking the law, which, again, isn't such a
before you get to that scene, I think the best scene in the movie is, for me personally, is when Denzel Washington is trailing him in the car.
Oh,
and then he comes up next to him on the freeway, 1990 freeway, LA. Way different. No one's on the road. And he pulls right up to Denzel Washington, and like Denzel Washington has a gun. And I just thought it was this very suspenseful scene I've never seen before.
Oh, what did he say when he pulled
said something
up
to... like, "Oh man, it was
I forget.
It wasn't,
I was
like
joking.
Crucial, but
yeah,
it was,
but
like...
he's toying with them, like he is playing with these cops, and you're thinking to yourself, if he's the murderer, either he's so arrogant that he can get away with it, that he just doesn't care. Or if he's not the murderer, he loves fucking with these guys. So the scene I was about to tell about is the two cops, Rami Malek and Denzel Washington, they basically call Jared Leto and say, "Hey, we have to talk to you about something. Can you meet us at this place?" They don't meet him. Instead, Denzel Washington sneaks into his apartment while he's out, which, again, is breaking and entering because they didn't have a search warrant, but looking for clues, but they don't find anything. And
this scene for me was hard to watch because I don't like movies where someone could come back.
Oh, where you're waiting. Like, I know. Yeah, it's like that moment when you're like, you know, they're going to show up. You know, they're going to show up. Well, it gets to a point where Jared Leto's totally playing games with them. And finally, he gets Rami Malek he tells Rami Malek, "Hey, you want to know where the jogging girl who's missing? I'll take you to her body." Like, he's basically saying, Denzel Washington's out getting coffee, so Rami Malek goes with him, just the two of them, which we were like...
out in the middle of nowhere.
Why would you go with someone you think is a serial killer in the middle of nowhere?
You get in the car with them, your partner doesn't know where you are.
Exactly.
Like, there's so many double negatives to this.
Every mistake anyone would make.
You know, it's going to be hard to feel sorry for him.
Well, Rami Malek had a gun, but remember, he's 4'11". No, Rami Malek...
But they didn't paint Jared Leto as someone who could, like... take someone out with like a punch.
No, but he was creepy.
He was
and like I would never try to go anywhere with him alone, especially if you suspect that he's killed all these women, like if he's a killer. So Rami Malek goes with him. He has his gun, but they go into the middle of nowhere. Denzel Washington sees them driving away and gets in his car and is trying to follow them, but doesn't quite follow them. They go in the middle of, like, was it like the desert or somewhere?
Out in the middle of nowhere.
And Jordan Catalano. And Jared Leto basically says, "Oh, yeah, you can dig right here. She should be here." Rami Malek's digging. There's nothing. He's like, "Oh, sorry, it's actually over here." And this scene, I will say, was done well because you're thinking, wait, what is going on? Is he going to find a body? Is Jared Leto going to sneak up behind him? Didn't you think, like, kill him? Is something going to happen?
He wasn't really guarding his gun. He's wearing like a Hollister. Is that what it's called? Holster?
Holster.
Holster. He's wearing
Hollister
name
the
brand,
American Eagle brand?
Which came way later than 1990.
No, after.
And I thought he was going to take the gun and shoot him. I thought it was going to be like this big surprise or like there's also like a shovel. So I was like, I just give it away.
Well, no, but I mean, I was thinking the same thing. You're thinking Jared Leto's creepy. He's going to sneak up. Something's going to happen. Nothing happens. Then Jared Leto just starts taunting him because he's obviously fucking with him. He's like, "Guess what? I actually didn't kill her and I haven't killed anyone and you just believe me." And Rami Malek's starting to get more frustrated. Finally, he just takes the shovel
snaps.
And smashes it across Jared Leto's head and kills him.
Yeah, instantly.
instantly kills him.
So this is where, like, it doesn't, it's not like other movies where, like, Sylvester Stallone gets hit in the face, like, 20 times with, like, a shovel and still lives. Like, this movie's playing it straight. They're playing it serious. They're, like, okay.
And I think if you got hit really hard at a shovel once, you would die. So, yeah, it's good.
So they're, like, this movie is no nonsense.
No, not, well, but here's where it takes a weird turn, or even, this is toward the end, but... So Rami Malek is now kind of freaking out. Denzel Washington finally catches up with him and is like, you know, like, don't, basically trying to tell him, like, don't worry, you killed a killer. Now put it, now dig up these holes and let's bury him and stuff. But up until this point, as the viewer, you don't know if Jared Leto was actually the killer or not. If they just killed an innocent person who was creepy, but was not a murderer.
And then you finally get to find out what Denzel Washington's big reveal, why he's so sleepy in the way he is throughout the entire movie. So back in the day of him trying to find that out, the women, he accidentally shoots the third woman that was found at a murder scene.
Yeah, she was actually a survivor trying to run away from the killer, and he thought it was the killer and accidentally shot her dead.
So the lady that works in the morgue, like, covered the secret, and one other person covered the secret. So all three of them have had to keep this secret for, I don't know, 15 years?
They basically just lumped this girl with the other two who were actually killed by the serial killer and said they were all killed and stabbed to death, when in reality, Denzel Washington killed this innocent woman. Right. And he's had to live with this.
So, I mean...
Denzel Washington, you can tell, is trying to get Rami Malek to be like, it's okay, like, almost like, I know what it's like. They part ways. Rami Malek is traumatized because he killed someone.
He left him out in the middle of the desert. He's like, hey, I'll come back for you, but you're going to have to dig this hole all night.
Well, when we get to the ending, Rami Malek goes home to his family and is obviously just
distraught.
Like, basically what apparently happened to Denzel Washington years ago. And the one thing Rami Malek has been saying, like, if we could just find the red beret that the missing jogger woman had, we'd know Jared Leto killed her. And so Rami Malek gets a package, and it's from Denzel Washington, and it includes the red beret. So you're like, oh, my God, like, he was the killer. You found it. Well, at the very end, Denzel Washington is leaving, and you see him throw away. It was a package of new berets that he had bought.
He just got, like, the red one. And so
and sent it to him to make him think that Jared Leto was the killer so he wouldn't feel so bad for having killed him.
And then he also burnt all of Jared Leto's stuff.
Yes. So it was just like, so the whole time you're thinking, so basically this is a story of cops covering for each other.
Right. But here's the thing. I think my gut tells me, as the viewer watching, I think Denzel and the guy, Rami Malek. They did the right thing. I think Jared Leto, even if he wasn't the killer, which I think he was, he still was just creepy and messing with cops. So, you know, he deserves to be killed.
I was going to say, I highly disagree with that assessment. What I'm going to say is you can't just kill someone because you suspect them. Look, Jared Leto was creepy as fuck, but they...
Kill him.
You can't kill someone who's creepy. There'd be a lot of dead people in this world. Secondly, what I think hit true to home for me, and I don't want to make this political, but I will say we all know
it was very timely.
In the world, there are a lot of people, whether it's like government officials, cops, or business people, that cover for each other. You know, this kind of shit happens, or people that kind of push aside evidence or something. So I guess this wasn't so far removed for me to believe, number one, that, you know, sometimes you can accidentally kill someone, other people cover it up or something. So it kind of left me with an uneasy feeling because, yes, I didn't like Jared Leto.
It'd be so easy as a cop to frame someone.
Of course, yeah, and that's the thing. And so I think it's called The Little Things. I think he kept referencing, like, little things when you're on a case, like evidence, little things that make big differences. And I you know, he was able to – Rami Malek now thinks, oh, I killed a murderer. It's okay. But deep down, really, we'll never know.
Only because Denzel Washington
– sent him that red beret, which he bought.
Right. So I guess he's putting his mind at ease.
He's doing it. And I think it was a nice gesture because he knew – I think this is my interpretation. Denzel Washington was so haunted by what he did that he's like, he doesn't want Rami Malek to be haunted by. Now, I will say between the two of them,
they're going to be haunted.
Of course. But between the two of them, Denzel Washington definitely did the much, much worse thing because he killed this poor girl
innocent woman who was
trying to survive. We don't know. Jared Leto may have been the killer, so he may have killed a killer.
My gut tells me yes.
Your gut. Well, guess what? A jury doesn't convict based on your gut.
I'm not a cop.
No. But here's the thing. I'm going to say something you're probably not going to expect, Tim. I actually didn't think it was that great.
No, it's fine. I recommend it to like my parents for a Sunday matinee. You know what I mean? It's not breaking any new ground. It's like a really long episode of like, what was that one? In the CSI. Heat of the Night. Remember that? I don't know.
In the Heat
it
of the Night.
It just seemed like an old cop show.
This is what I thought. Like, I know I just talked about this and it made me think about all these things and that's all good. But I guess I'm saying from a purely entertainment standpoint, not like did the movie have something to say or have a point of view. From a purely entertainment point of view, I was hoping for more. I guess maybe because I was looking for a Silence of the Lambs serial killer type movie.
There's no car chases. There's very little guns. There's it's not a thriller.
It's
a movie about grief and dealing with being a real cop.
And cops covering for each other. No, it's really, I feel like it's like, there wasn't, you know, Silence of the Lambs, yes, you knew who Buffalo Bill was
plays eerie and gross and there's a cannibalism.
But there's the chase at the end and she's trying to catch him and all this. They get Jared Leto halfway through and then it's just continuing to try to find evidence against him. And then it ends with you don't even know if he was the killer and if they even found the killer. And there weren't a lot of kills or chases. Literally, the most thrilling part was the first scene, I think.
Yeah. No, I think it was more of a character study movie.
It was. It was definitely. But I will say this. The only person to me who shined acting-wise was Jared Leto. Denzel Washington was very one-note. Rami Malek was weirdly miscast. Jared Leto was great.
I agree with everything you just said.
But that's the thing. I think if you are a horror fan and looking for a good serial killer movie, you're not going to love this one.
This would be if you should call it Tiny Little Thing.
Tiny Little Thing. But I will say this. That's not to say, like I said, though, that this movie didn't make an impact.
No,
again, there's a difference.
There were moments where I was genuinely like, ooh, what's going
to
happen?
Well, I mean, I guess I'm saying more in like making it, but like have something to say. Like, I will say I've never seen a movie where, well, maybe I have, where like they're hunting a serial killer and then it ends when you don't really know. It's
if
more
he was
about
guilty
what the,
or not.
Yeah, and it's more about what the cops did wrong versus what the killer did wrong.
Absolutely.
So in that respect, like it was different, and it you're right, it was like more of a character-driven movie than like a thriller.
Yeah.
But
the guy that won, again, we don't know if he won the Oscar or not. But
we really have to figure that out.
I know. So he, his family and everything, I thought, because they were like, this is his wife, these are his two daughters, and like, Jared Leto was kind of like going the way of direction. Like, I know you have got two kids. I know you got a wife. I was like, is this movie going to end with like him breaking into the house? No.
Okay, you're right. He did win Best Actor for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow.
How did I not know that? I mean, again, I thought I remember seeing that movie. He's cast well as Freddie Mercury, but that doesn't mean he's going to be cast well as a
cop
sheriff.
In L.A.? Yeah.
In L.A.? Yeah, another thing in L.A. Come on, we know our cops are crazy. So
he did not come across as crazy.
Yeah.
He came across as sane and having a
Except
family.
When he killed Jared Leto. Oh, yeah, no.
He did kill Jared Leto.
Yeah. So we should move on to the second movie, which is very different. It's a movie called The Night. And I actually had read about this movie because it's it was apparently it was in a film festival, Santa Barbara Film Festival, a year ago, but it wasn't released in theaters and on demand until the end of January this year.
2021.
Yes, 2021 by IFC Midnight. But anyway, this is a definite horror movie, a psychological horror movie.
Watch these movies back to back, by the way.
Yes, very different movies. It involves an Iranian couple and their one-year-old daughter, who's adorable, by the way.
Very cute.
And it starts where they're just kind of like at a dinner party with friends, right? It's no big deal.
Right, and the main girl, what's her name?
I don't even want to try to. Oh, wait, maybe, is it Sarah I'm looking at? I can't imagine it being Sarah. I'm looking on IMDb and yes. It says Sarah. But let's just say the main girl.
There's like the husband and the wife and the baby.
Yes.
It's okay. So the wife is kind of warning her husband, like, don't drink too much. And he's like, oh, I've got a toothache. Like, she's just taking precautions. Like, you know, we still have to drive like an hour back to our house. Like, and we have got a baby. And when it's late, like, don't drink too much.
Yeah.
Which I get that.
Yes, definitely. And they end up, he ends up ignoring her and he ends up, yeah. And they're on their drive home. They basically, well, he still is being the typical guy who's like, no, I can do it or whatever. And then they like, I think they almost hit a cat or something.
I don't know if they actually do hit something or they don't, or if.
I think they stopped because they thought they did. But anyway, the wife realizes we cannot finish the drive home. Let's find a hotel for the night.
Which they do. I guess it is in downtown Los Angeles.
You like how I said for the night. That's the title.
Night.
That's
title. The title. I like when you mention the title.
Yes, they find the Hotel Normandy, which is an actual hotel in LA.
I did a little research. It is a real, you can stay there. Well, actually, I don't know right now, but it was built in 1926.
Ooh, I know. Yeah. It is funny that they used a real hotel because of the subject matter of the movie, but they check in this hotel and the doorman is a little creepy.
Creepy.
And it looks like it's late and it looks like there's nobody else in this hotel. It's an old hotel. But they just like want a place to stay for the night.
Just for the night. Which, yeah. You know, that's something rich people do.
Exactly. I love that. That's my first thought. I was like, really? You can't finish the drive? Like, I think they said they had another half hour. Like, I would love to be able to just have the money to be like, yeah, I'll just stay in this incredibly nice hotel.
You know, they were being a safe family and like, you know, he wasn't exactly the most alert because he may or may not have hit something. Mm-hmm. So they're doing the right thing. They check in. Again, the guy's very creepy, creepy, creepy.
Yes, yes. And by the way, the only reason I even mentioned that they were an Iranian couple at the beginning, because obviously it doesn't matter what their nationality or ethnicity was,
it's scary
is because
any nationality.
Well, yeah. It's because the first half of the movie they're speaking Farsi and it's with subtitles until they get to the hotel. So you could easily, when you start this film, think it's a foreign film, which I think it is a foreign film, but there it takes place in America. So it's an Iranian couple with all of their friends. Speaking Farsi, and they speak Farsi to each other, and you'll have subtitles. But when they get to the hotel, they're speaking English with everyone. So it's I just wanted to clear that up why does it matter that they're an Iranian couple? Because that factors into it.
And then like as they were going into the hotel, like there's like a homeless man that tries to stop them, and like he sees that they both have. Both the wife and the husband have tattoos.
Yes, and I forgot it was something to do with I don't even want to pretend to know enough. It was some sort of Persian thing, and I don't even want to make myself sound completely ignorant by guessing. So
too late.
Yeah, no, I know, but it was something. It was something mystical because they both got half of the tattoos, right. But also it was some sort of symbolism of their love.
I think it was it kind of came into play here and there, but it wasn't like a plot.
Yeah, so, well, at first they go, they're checking in their suite, and you think it's going to be fine, and, like, the first thing, like, it starts, and it's very subtle, like, at first, like, I think the wife hears some knocks on the door and sees a little kid down the corridor.
Right.
And
they're just trying to get their baby to sleep, so, like, they're up, like, the mom is up.
Yeah.
And so, like, she does hear, like, a little boy which
knocking
is weird.
On the door, which is weird because it's like really late at night. It's like 3 a.m. Yeah. And then like, why is a little boy running by himself in the night knocking on their door?
Right.
But then it slowly builds because then the man, he goes downstairs when he can't get the baby to sleep and he wants to get like some hot
warm
water
milk,
to mix with the breast milk or something to in his.
So he has this awkward conversation with the front doorman.
Yeah, who starts talking about murder.
He starts talking about major murders. And at the end of the conversation, he's like, but the worst kind of murders is like when a baby dies.
Yes. Creepiest thing to say.
He goes, can I hold your baby?
Oh, yeah, fuck no. But what's creepier is that, remember, the wife comes down, or who you think is the wife, and the wife is suddenly acting very, like, robotic.
Zombie-like.
Like, can I hold the baby, or something, and...
Well, before that happens, like, he sees a woman in the reflection of the hotel.
Yes,
and then
yes.
He's just kind of like, oh, like that... apparently this woman means something to him.
But we don't know at this point.
Yeah. Kind of like when Denzel Washington had a past, yes. But we don't find out for a good hour.
But yes, exactly. You see this woman and you're wondering, what is it? Is it a ghost? Whatever. Anyway, the wife comes down. She's acting really robotic. And he leaves the baby with the wife downstairs. Then he goes upstairs, basically, and his wife is in the room. And he's like, wait, what the fuck? And she's like, where's the baby? And they go downstairs. He had left the baby downstairs with no one. He's like, no, you were
here. So they both run downstairs, get the baby, go back upstairs.
Yeah, and by this point already, if I mistook someone for someone and then they weren't there, like, done. I'm out.
I didn't know where the movie was going at this point because I thought, oh, is this a movie where the wife and the husband turn on each other? I'm glad that they ended that quickly because as a viewer, that gets confusing.
Well, they start, I mean, the wife is like, why would you leave the baby down? He's like, what are you talking about? You were downstairs. And she's like, no, I wasn't. And you're starting to realize weird things are happening. Well, the movie takes a very like Shining like turn because they start hearing knocks.
Shining, yes.
They start hearing more knocks. Then they hear the kid who had knocked before inside their room. They both hear like in the bathroom,
yeah.
But the kid's not there. Then they hear all this like knocking above them.
Then he tries to go to sleep and like she's filing her nails.
Oh, no. He hears someone filing her nails and he doesn't he turn and it's not her or she or no, she like wasn't in the room at the time or some, she was in the other room or something.
There was a lot of like. I get they're kind of like dream sequences.
Fake outs. Like.
They're fake outs. Lots of them. It's basically they're like they're borderline hallucinating constantly.
But it's very creepy. It's done in a way where you really think it's like the husband interacting with the wife and then it's not her and then she comes in from the other room. But I thought the creepiest of them all was then after hearing all this knocking and running around and not knowing what it is so late, they call the police.
This is the best part.
And a policeman shows up and he like comes in there and he's
and
like saying.
They literally give the cop a play-by-play of everything that's going on.
And they sound insane.
They
know. They're like,
bonkers.
We saw a kid and then we heard his voice in our room, but he wasn't there. And then my wife was downstairs, but she wasn't there. And then I heard a woman filing her nails,
so
but
like,
it wasn't
he goes,
her.
Wait, you guys called me here because you're being disturbed and you can't sleep. And then,
yeah, but
is he
then
the one that said like,
the creepiest thing is they hear a knock at the door while he's inside.
Oh,
and
wait,
he's
wait,
like,
don't give it away. Because doesn't he say like no one else is staying in this hotel?
Oh, yes, he did say that.
Yeah, okay, because that's the creepiest.
Oh, but when he says no one else staying at your hotel, yeah, immediately you're like, then who's this other woman?
Who's
this
kid?
Yeah. But this is what gave me full-on chills, like, is that he, you hear a knock at the door, and he's like, that must be my, I'm going to say it, why?
No, you are going to say it, but there's more to it. He says, can I hold your baby?
Did he hold the baby?
Yeah, remember, he was holding the baby, so when they heard the knock on the door, they go...
Oh, yeah. Yes. So they hear the knock on the door, and he's like, oh, that's probably my partner. They open the door, and it's the same guy,
police officer,
saying, hi, can I help you? And they are like, wait, what? And
they're
they
like, who's holding her baby?
And they turn, and wait, who, and is it the, where was the baby at that point, though?
I don't remember.
Well, it wasn't like, it, but basically, it's like the cop was never in their room, or the cop was, like, and I got the chills because you're like, wait, what? Who was
it
just
is
in
actually,
their room?
It is genuinely scary. And then they finally get what we've been saying the whole time, leave the hotel.
Well, I think isn't that kind of the trigger for them to finally leave the hotel? Yeah.
So, so they get everything out and they go out to the minivan, but then they don't have the car keys. It's up in the hotel.
Yes. So the husband has to go back, leaves the wife in the car by herself in an alley with the baby.
Right. We're totally safe in LA.
Yeah, which already, you know, something's messed up with this hotel and something. So this guy, I guess he was either like a homeless guy or someone who was like talking to them before, comes up to her, is stuttering. She can't understand him. Then he says like something about like only the truth will let you see mourning. But he says it not like he's Confucius. He says it like very creepily and scares the shit out of the woman and then suddenly he's not there or
and then as she's sitting there, there's like lots of like,
oh yeah, she keeps hearing like knocks on the on the car and stuff. It's very, I guess the word would be like atmospheric, like it really sets the tone and makes you nervous with every sound. But like the guy, while he is looking for the keys inside, there's a good scene because he hears something in the bathroom and he hears a woman calling to him. He obviously recognized the voice and the
bathtub's full of blood.
Blood, and it's a woman having just committed suicide, which is obviously in his head, but you're realizing at this point, okay, they're being haunted by something that they've experienced or they're related
to. So then he goes and gets her, that brings her back in, right?
Yes, I think they get, well, she's terrified of
so
whatever out there.
She sits down and reveals that she had an abortion.
Yeah. Well, she, after being told by the homeless guy that the truth or whatever, she realizes that the apparitions of this kid she's been seeing, because remember the kid finally says, let me see my baby sister or something. It's obviously a ghost or whatever. She reveals that 5 years ago or something, she had an abortion and
well,
never
he was
told
in
the
Iran,
guy.
Right?
I think
or
so.
Like
and
he was
she,
not with her.
Yes, and she had an abortion. She had never told him. Obviously, then you put it together. The little boy that's been haunting her the whole time is like her being haunted by what could have been her child that she never told. And it's funny. As soon as she tells him the truth, like the power in the hotel goes on.
Oh, that's right. So it's like, okay, things are improving. They can walk out.
Mm-hmm.
But
the thing is, why am I forgetting the ending now? I always forget the ending to these movies.
But here's the thing. The ending is not anything, it's not great.
To write home about.
Right. It's not anything to write home about. So
she keeps telling him, like, what are you not telling me? And he won't tell her.
Mm-hmm. So there's all, like, he goes down to the basement of the hotel, but then he goes outside. Like, there's, it's basically like a Nightmare on Elm Street dream sequence.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
And he has a flashback, though, a premonition of a woman that it was his mistress.
In a body bag?
Yeah. Basically, what you put together, even though he doesn't say it, is that he was apparently cheating on his wife with this woman, and then he probably didn't leave his wife for her, and she killed herself. Now, he is refusing to tell his wife this, and obviously, you're thinking
if he
does.
And now they're stuck in a hotel.
Yeah, and now they're stuck in a hotel, and you think if he just will tell her who he's being haunted by, why the hotel is messing with him, with that they'll be able to leave, they'll be free or whatever, but he will not tell her.
So then, like, he's running around and, like, he grabs a knife in the kitchen of the hotel and he accidentally stabs his wife.
Yes. Okay. Now
so then there's this big, like, earlier in the movie there's this picture that he looks at, and it's a person looking into the mirror, and it's the back of, like, you don't see your face.
It's like someone looking at themselves looking in a mirror.
Yes.
Yes.
So then, like, is that the last scene in the movie?
Well, no. He goes, and after he accidentally stabs his wife, then he, like, goes into the bathroom, and he's, like, looking in the mirror, washing his face. He's totally haunted.
For a really long time.
Yes. And you're thinking, is there going to be a big scare? So I'm going to pop through the window. But no, what happens was he turns away from the reflection, and his reflection stays looking at him. And then he kind of turns into what that painting was of, like, someone looking at themselves looking through a mirror.
So
are you supposed to think they're stuck in the hotel forever?
Yes, because it's like purgatory. Because he does try to call his friend, and his friend's like, you need to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, why would I come there if you can't get out? Yeah. So it's like, it's clearly not his friend.
It's a weird ending, but I will say, I think the point it's making, obviously, is like, if he had, like, cleared his conscience and told the wife, he would have been released from, like, the grasps of the hotel.
The truth shall set you free.
Well, what did it say? Only the truth will find mourning or something. And it's sad because the wife,
she did
who
her part,
had told him the truth. And also, like, you know, I think what he was cheating and all that, like,
yeah,
she
wasn't. From the get-go of the movie, he wasn't particularly nice to her. He was short with her.
Yeah,
so
very
it was hard.
Short.
I mean, I was sympathetic for the family because it was nice wife, nice baby, but the dad was not particularly warm.
No, he wasn't, and she was trying. She was the more responsible one. He was just not giving a shit, and they were fighting a lot. But so, but
men suck.
Men suck. That's what these movies say, yeah. All in all, though, like, it was very creepy. There were multiple times that I got the chills, like, literally physically felt the chills.
I would say the cop scene was strong.
Yes.
And
even the first time when he thinks the woman is downstairs, or no, the woman filing her nails who ends up not being her.
That was creepy. I think anything where it's nighttime and you're trying to sleep is creepy because we go to bed every night. So we all experience
it. But it's that, and it was the shock of him thinking someone's there in the room and then them coming in from another room, and you're like, well, then who was he talking to? You know, it's like that creepy, like, oh my God, who is here? What?
We still don't know who that little kid was.
No, the little kid was her manifestation
of her
aborted child.
But, I mean, we physically saw the kid. Yeah. So the fact that they said, like, no one else is in this hotel.
Well, that's the thing. They were, I mean, I take it as they were both being haunted by their secrets, and the hotel was preying on this, and it was kind of forcing them to be honest with each other. But
what if we're completely wrong about this movie?
I don't think we are. Like, I mean, we'd have to be way off, but who knows? I couldn't even remember the ending for a while. No, you're, but what I will say is that it was very effective and being a very creepy, even if you don't care about what the movie was saying or what, like, the moral, whatever. It was really creepy. It was one of the better, like, hotel
movies
I've seen.
I agree. Like, I do, now that I know this hotel actually exists, I want to go to the hotel.
Exactly.
And, like, when we looked at the, what's that called? A website for the hotel.
Yeah.
You recognize the staircase.
The sign, everything.
Everything. I think it'll become like a tourist spot. I hope it does.
Well, but here's the thing, this is my question to you. Like, they must have okayed this. But now that this movie's coming out,
like
are
cursed.
People... Well, but here's the thing. You know how, what do they say? All press is good press or something?
Right.
What I'm saying is that if this hotel gets known for being haunted, is that a good thing? Because people want to go?
I even asked you right in the middle of the movie. I said, would you stay in the hotel?
And I said no.
Yeah, and I said I would.
I think I was thinking you meant like the fictional version, like the hotel we were watching
in
the movie.
One.
Would I stay in the actual Hotel Normandy now that I know it's real? Yeah, I think I would.
Because
now I think I'd be more interested. Yeah. But, like, I guess it's like, are we supposed to think it was... Yeah, I guess it was. The hotel was what was playing tricks on them? Or were they being haunted by their own lie? Like, I'm not sure.
I think it's a combination of both. I think the hotel represented their conscience? So,
or maybe it was the hotel did have like the supernatural energy,
yeah,
and it was preying on their fears, just like, I guess.
No,
yeah.
It's very creepy because where did the doorman go? He disappeared.
Yeah, he
too.
Totally disappeared.
I mean, where'd the cop go? We don't know.
And we didn't know when he was holding the baby.
Yeah,
where,
I mean, like,
but it was done. It was just, it was done well. It was very, like, I remember, I think I, you know, this movie hasn't had a lot of press or something, and so you're just like, what's going on?
I mean, Matt found this movie and I'm glad he did. I thought it was great.
We were engrossed in it, I think. Like, I think we were more into this than the little things.
I mean, here's the thing. We're in a pandemic. Everything is entertaining to me.
Really?
So I did like both. I would probably watch The Night again. I can't say the same for... What's it called?
I would just say to recommend The Little Things. Little Things, yes. If you have HBO Max, you can watch Little Things for free. But
or Wonder Woman. Whole another podcast.
You can't. You have to pay for The Night. You can rent it on demand, like on Vudu or Google Play or whatever. But it's only $6.99. It's not $19.99. So I would recommend it. I think for people who love atmospheric movies, if you love that, the Shining type of like slow burning, like just setting the supernatural like scene. That was
absolutely
a lot of.
I wouldn't watch it alone though. I would watch it alone in the dark.
This is a movie that would freak me out watching alone.
Like,
so I think it's good. I actually would really recommend it. I think that, again, it's not like action-packed, but it's very creepy.
You know,
really
I
creepy.
Wish, here's the thing. I wish the dad was more likable because, you know, I didn't particularly care for him from the get-go because he wasn't sweet.
Well, but
I know it was his character.
No, I was just going to say, but doesn't that make it better that he... that it ends in a way that's not good for him, you know?
Yeah,
because
yes,
if you
yes.
liked him, then you'd be devastated, right?
True, true. He had to be a little bit stubborn for the ending to work.
It's true, and I feel like, and it did suck that the wife, poor wife, like, tells him the truth and then gets stabbed. Nice.
Right. Well,
so
we
basically what
know
we're
if
saying
she lives
is...
or not. Does she?
She got stabbed and he said he was going to, like, help her, and then you don't know, so I don't know. I mean... Yes,
but
you can
survive
a stab
wound. I think that's the genius
of
the movie. Like, they leave a lot of things open-ended for open interpretation.
Interpretation. Well, yeah, I think definitely, I would definitely recommend The Night and The Little Things.
I would recommend them both because what are we doing? What are we doing with ourselves, really?
But that's not a very big recommendation. You know, look, I'd recommend them because, like, what else are you going to do?
Okay, well, The Night for sure. The other one for Jared Leto's performance, but only if you've watched everything else on television.
Everything else on television, including...
Right. Clueless.
I think that's where we should end things, right?
Yes, that's
okay, well, happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy the night.
Okay, talk with you later.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time. We are so happy you've taken the time to check out our podcast.
This podcast is hosted by Matt Emmer and myself, Tim Murdoch. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Happy TV, and many other streaming platforms.
If you'd like to stay updated, please like and follow Happy Horror Time podcast page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And if you'd like to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your movie recommendations, and any horror celebrities you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime and sign up to be a patron. That'll give you access to our growing library of bonus episodes. Our goal is to release at least one bonus episode per month.
Before we go, we'd like to recommend a podcast hosted by our co-producer, Jacob Randall. It's a true crime podcast called Crime of Your Life, in which Jacob takes a look at unsolved criminal cases and other mysteries while examining the true crime genre itself. It's incredibly engaging, and we definitely recommend it.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.